Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Once a little bit ago, I read a very peculiar quote that I want to share with you. It was a quote that appeared on some church bulletin board. And this is how it went. If God is far away, who has left? If God is far away, who has left? You know, we often live our lives with an awareness of how close God really is. Yet there are times when certain things happen in life where we really get a sense that God is truly with us, to a point where we become overwhelmed, perhaps. I remember once, it was about 15 years ago or so, maybe longer, Tanya and I were living in the Twin Cities, and we were in the Sunday worship service, and we had just been assured that our sins are forgiven after we confessed our sins, and as we usually do, we began our first prayer, which was the Kyrie, Lord have mercy. But this particular Sunday, the congregation didn't pray that prayer. The choir did. And they put it to a song that was absolutely haunting. Absolutely beautiful. The most beautiful thing I ever heard in my life. And I was overcome with emotion. I literally began to weep. And weep out loud. Tears flowing down my face because I was overcome with the knowledge and overcome with the realization that God truly was with us at that moment. Sometimes that happens to us, and hopefully we are aware of this on a regular basis. But oftentimes it happens when things happen to us in life, such as a tragedy. And our gospel reading today is very similar. It's the miracle of Jesus' birth. And as important as that is, and as important as you saw it here today put on display, there's something that's even more important than Jesus' birth that I want to share with you today. And that most important thing that I want you to know today is that God is with us. He is truly with us. Whether you realize it or not, He is with us. And that's really one of the main focus points, one of the main objectives of Christmas, of why Jesus came, was so that God can be with us as the God-man. What we heard today as the children spoke the word of God to us, and as you heard in the readings as well, you heard this, that Jesus came and He is the true God. He is with us, and He is with us as God. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit of a virgin. He was completely without sin. Though He was fully human, He was without sin. In fact, Hebrews chapter 4 tells us this, that we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. We have one who has been tempted in all things just as we are, yet without sin. That means, dear friends, that we have a God who is so near us and so much like us that He became one of us, human flesh, flesh and bones. You prick Him you cut Him with a knife, He's going to bleed just like us. And He was tempted in every way just as you and I are tempted. But He never sinned. Therefore, as you deal with your temptations, you can be assured that He can sympathize and does sympathize with you because He understands. because he's been there. He's not merely godly, but actually he is fully God. 100% God. He is not half God and half man. He is 100% God. That one who was born in a stable and laid in a manger was truly God. That's why the angels gathered around and sang, "Glory to God in the highest." That's why the shepherds were in awe. I love these little kids, these little shepherds that were here. They had someone whispered in my ear, they're just like the shepherds of old. They're just in total awe. They're kind of wandering around. Where do we go? What do we do? That was exactly the way it was, I'm sure. These shepherds were in awe of what they saw, what they witnessed, because God was in their midst. In fact, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 14, tells us this, that when Jesus became man, that God, he tabernacled among us. He dwelt among us. Not just for a time, not just for a season, but came and to be with us and live with us always, now and forever. And Jesus was, and he is, and he remains God to this very day. In fact, Hebrews chapter 13 tells us that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So he who is with us is true God, but he is also true man. He was born of a woman. He has a human body just like we do. A human body with all of the wants and the feelings that we have. You cut him, he will bleed. You pinch him too hard, he will bruise. He's just like us. And he's just like us even now. He has ascended into heaven and sits at God's right hand, still flesh and bones, just like us today. He lived in the real world, just like us. He experienced joys. He experienced sorrows. He experienced acceptance. He also experienced rejection, just like you and I do. Jesus, this God-man, is still with us. In fact, Jesus said this just before he ascended into heaven. He said, "I am with you always to the very end of the age." And why did he come to be with us? He came to be with us because he wanted to bring us salvation. He came to save us from our sin. You see, there was this great chasm fixed between God and between us, between God and man, that occurred when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden some 5,000-6,000 years ago. Before they were expelled out of the garden, God promised them before he expelled them out of the garden that he was going to send someone, the seed of a woman, who was going to come and crush the head of the serpent. And once and for all, deal with this thing that separates us from God. And this is exactly who Jesus is, and is exactly what he has done. He came to save us from our sin. Sin is a terrible reality. It's very corrupt, and it corrupts us to our very bone. It separates us from God, which I think is probably the worst thing of all. But maybe even worse than that is that it condemns us. Sin absolutely condemns us. And this is what Jesus came to save us from. You see, only God and Mary's Son can save us. Did you hear that? Only God and Mary's Son can save us. In fact, the apostle records in Acts chapter 4, "There is no salvation in anyone else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved." And that name that you heard again and again this morning is the name of Jesus. Amen. You see, he is the man that God sent. God came and became a man, and he has kept the law perfectly in our place, perfectly in our stead. What Adam and Eve could not do in the garden, God came in Jesus Christ and did for us perfectly by keeping every jot and tittle of the law. And as God, he is able to hear the suffering. He is also able to bear the suffering. And he is also able to rise us from the dead. All of us, I'm sure, here death has touched us in some way, shape, or form. All of us here, I'm sure, have loved ones who are suffering today. Maybe suffering from cancer or some other horrible disease. And that we know that the Lord's going to take us, take that individual home. But here's the good news. Our physical death is only the beginning. It's only the beginning of life for us. Because you see, God has promised us through Christ, he has promised us this thing called the resurrection from the dead. Just as Jesus rose from the dead, we too will rise from the dead. And he is, and God is able through Jesus to bear our suffering, and he is able to bring us back from the dead, just as God rose Jesus from the dead. That too is in our future. And that is in the future of everyone who believes, everyone who trusts Jesus, everyone who clings to him by faith, clings to his, what he accomplished, and living in that each and every day. So I urge you, let him be your Savior. Let him be your Savior. Yes, we say we believe. We got up, stood up a few minutes ago and we said, I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. That's wonderful. God be praised for that. We have been baptized, most of us, I'm sure, have been baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, which unites us with Jesus' death and resurrection. But there's another thing that's needed, and that is faith. Faith in the heart which God gives us as a gift. Faith in the heart which God gives us that enables us now to walk by faith, to live that faith. I was scrolling through my newspaper this morning, which is called Facebook. Yeah, really. But I saw something that just amazed me. I just put a smile on my face. Someone who's here today put a quote on there how they're coming through downtown and they saw someone trying to get into their apartment via a wheelchair. And they were struggling. And people were going, walking by, driving by, not stopping to help. So this young lady stopped her car, got out, and helped this individual in a wheelchair make their way into their apartment. Just out of the kindness of her heart. That is putting our faith, putting feet to our faith. That is what it means to live by faith. We're doing the things that God would have us do. Serving one another, loving one another. As Christ loved us, we therefore ought to love one another. And that's what this was, and that's what I saw in this, in that little posting, and what put such a huge smile on my face is this was a someone who, yes, says, I believe, and took that belief and put feet to it. And that's what God is calling us to do. So let him be your Savior. Don't cling to other things and say, well, I'm okay because I pray three times a day. Well, good for you. Don't say, I'm okay because I believe. Well, good for you. Even the devil believes. Even the demons believe. And look what's going to happen to them. Don't cling to our piety and just simply say, well, I come to church every Sunday and I come to our Wednesday evening Advent service. I come to the prayer gathering that happens here on Monday evenings. I go to Bible study. Those are all wonderful things, but those things are not the things that will save you. The only thing that will save you is clinging to Jesus, your Savior. That's the only thing that will give us assurance, is clinging to what He has done, not what we do. You see, His salvation is a daily reality. The psalmist tells us in Psalm 85, surely His salvation is near to those who fear Him, that glory may dwell in our land. And the psalmist also said in Psalm 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life, whom shall I dread? This was written by an individual who knows his Lord, who knows his Savior, that nothing in all of creation will ever separate him from God's love. And this, dear friends in Christ, is the overarching theme this Advent. Yes, it's fun to sing Joy to the World. It's fun to sing Away in a Manger. It's even fun to sing Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. My favorite Christmas carol. But the most important theme is this, and that is God has come to be with us in the God-man Jesus Christ as he brings His salvation to you and me. In fact, He has promised, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. No matter what you're going through today, no matter what you're experiencing today, no matter the joy that is surrounding your life, no matter the sorrow and the heartache that you bear, hear this. Jesus says to you, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. How close is God to us? Huh? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.